Blog Talk Radio.
Hold it now.
Productions presenting Black Urban America, one of the few blog talks, black owned internet radio station in America. On Saturdays, we had Carl Snee with Provocative Thought that comes on 8 p.m. On Tuesday, we have myself, Kenny Jones, Black Urban America. On Wednesday, we had Jermaine Harris, a.k.a. Shaka Zulu, with the elephant in the room. On the second Tuesday of each month, we have Healthy Relationships by Ann Dillard. And on the third Tuesday of each month, we have T. Nathan, a political consultant. Now, tonight, I don't have a guest, but I am going to continue some of my concerning issues that concerning Black America. If you want to join me in a discussion, dial 909-265-9215. Again, 909-265-9215. Our website will be up next month, thanks to Mr. Carlton Steve. Remember, this is We Talk Production presenting Black Urban America. Tonight, I would like to explore the status of the Black neighborhood. What is the status of the Black neighborhood? Do we still have Black neighborhoods? Are the Black neighborhoods that are left, are they suitable? Are they uplifting? Are they striving? What is the status of the Black neighborhood? One sociologist said from the Metropolitan Policy Program at the Brooklyn Institute that the Black neighborhood is a race-based wealth and inequality. What does that mean? The value of our assets includes buildings, schools, leadership, and land itself are not considered valuable. Why? Why? When you turn around, there are other cultures that are coming into these Black neighborhoods, buying up all these buildings, all these lands, and turning the neighborhood around, which no longer will be our neighborhood. If it was less value, why are you coming in these neighborhoods? Well, one reason is the value cost, the location, prime real estate. And, you know, where other coaches was living in suburbs, they worked in the urban areas. They entertained themselves in the neighborhood, in the urban areas. They would come, like most of the urban areas in America are, according to the Brooklyn Institute, is 65% African American. Well, it used to be anyway, prior to 2010. Also, it states, if blacks want to live around blacks, the value of the neighborhood decreases. That I don't understand. You mean to tell me that if I were to stay in a predominantly black neighborhood, and I say predominantly black like 95%, you mean to tell me that the value of my home or the value of that neighborhood is decreased because blacks live there? Now see what it means by race-based wealth inequality. But as soon as we move out, soon most of the people that are able to move out and go into what they call either predominantly white neighborhoods or, what's the new term, diversity neighborhoods or diverse communities, oh, everything's okay. It's upscale. It's, I forgot the term, what it's called, but it means upscale. What can we do about this? And then we fall into the trap. As soon as we get a new job, or our business is doing well, or there are some challenges in the black neighborhood, first thing that we want to do is move out. Who is left? Of all the people that are able to move out, who is left in them neighborhoods? I don't want to provide labels, but there are some of the people that can't, don't have a voice to fight, that don't have a voice to communicate stability, family structure, starting your own businesses, being pro-black. If, and you know, all you guys out there that think you're pro-black, why did you move out the black neighborhood? Why did you stay and fight these challenges in the black neighborhood? You know, there are a lot of stereotypes about the black neighborhoods in America. And they utilize law enforcement to keep these stereotypes alive. One, high crime. Two, families led by single women. Three, poverty. Well, I do not disagree with these stereotypes, or at least two out of three. You know, yes, we do have a high crime rate in predominantly black neighborhoods. I understand. But what are you doing about it? Are you running away from the problem? Or are you sticking around and trying to come up with solutions to the problem? And yes, I know gangs are running rampant in a lot of these black neighborhoods across America. I know this. And like Carlton told me one time, who wants to live around that? Who wants to live around that? Who wants to live around families that basically is not showing any care for their neighborhoods? We're not talking about 30 years ago. I mean, families just didn't start being led by single mothers. It's been going on for years and years and years and years. But these families stay, and they raised their children to become better. The children came back and tried to do better for the neighborhood. Do you know there are studies that explain this about our neighborhoods? Again, and if you were to look at it, all the studies I look at, it's economically based. Again, you want to join in? If you have any questions, dial 909-265-9215. The value of our buildings are far less. The property value of our buildings are far less than other buildings in other parts of urban areas. And even though we do have middle class blacks in our neighborhoods, they are slowly but surely moving out. When you move out, you know what you take? Resources. That's what you take away. You know what you take away also? Mentoring. No, not you have to be mentor someone, but if a child that goes to school and don't see a lot of people going to work or opening up their shops or what have you, and all they see is guys standing on the corner dealing or hustling, what type of message are you sending to that kid? What type of message are you sending him or her? And we talked about positive images here. If a child doesn't see, hey, there are two parents in the home, it could happen. So it's because of these other cultures coming into our neighborhoods and buying up all these properties, these buildings, changing the neighborhoods around where we can no longer afford to live there. That is the prime issue. We no longer have Harlem. We no longer have Chocolate City, D.C. We no longer have Bedford-Stuyvesant. We no longer have North Philadelphia because other cultures are able to buy these properties far less than the value that they are. And because of that, we had the disappearance of the black neighborhood. And or the black neighborhoods that are left, they'll soon be gone too. Their value will drop and other peoples will come in, buy up their property, jack up the rent, all and or the mortgage where you cannot afford to live. And with the administration that we have now, there's no such thing as affordable housing. That is a term that is obsolete thanks to this administration. There are no grants that assist people in purchasing homes. There are no grants that assist people to rent affordable housing. It's gone. I'm not saying no, will come back, but as of now, in this current administration, it is gone. There's a town, there's a section in St. Louis. I think it's East St. Louis. Not too sure, but there's a section in St. Louis that these brothers and sisters fought against gentrification. They kept their neighborhood. The black middle class did not move out. They stayed in the neighborhood. They turned it. I mean, they had challenges just like any other black neighborhood in America, but they fought it. They fought against it. And now, the community is a striving community. Don't sell out, people. Don't sell out. Keep your neighborhoods alive. With that note, I'm out of here. Next week, I really don't know who the guest would be. I had to look at my notes. But again, the message tonight is, hey, I'm afraid that we're going to lose more cities and more and more black folks going to be displaced because we don't stay in our neighborhoods and keep it running and keep it alive. But then, no, I'm out of here. I am because we are because I am. I'm Kenny. Be good.